Life can be messy and hard, but one of the things God has promised to give us is freedom. Freedom deep in our hearts that is not dependent on the ever-changing waves of circumstances, but set on the steadfast promises of God. This freedom gives us a secure identity, even with a broken past. It helps us have joy in parenting, even when we are completely exhausted. This freedom gives us love for our spouses, even when they are unlovable. And it can give us purpose in our careers, even if it's not the one we want.
But I feel stuck sometimes, don't you? What does it really mean that Christ has set us free? That's why we're here. Welcome to the Abiding Free podcast with Kristen and Shannon. We invite you to walk on this bumpy but beautiful journey toward freedom as we learn to abide in Him. Get ready for tears and laughter and everything in between, because this podcast is about living from the truth that, yes, it was for freedom that Christ has set you free.
Welcome back, friends, to the Abiding Free podcast. Kristen and Shannon here. This is the second episode in a series about knowing our identity and hearing the voice of God. And so we want to talk about two things today that God has been teaching us.
Yeah. And to preface, I want to talk about what I had mentioned in the last episode, which is the second experience that God has used powerfully in our lives over this last segment of time. And it's funny because it sounds small, but it's just God really used it in my life. And that is listening to a series of four sermons that were done at a youth camp by a guy named Jamie Winship. And you sent them to me.
Yeah. Well, it's so funny because a sweet friend on Instagram sent me the series, and they're like an hour and a half.
Yeah, they're long.
Like there's each four of them. And so to be totally honest, you know, we're all getting so much information. I got these. I'm like, okay, this is not happening. And she kept following up and asking if I'd listen to them. And so I had this kind of bad attitude, but I was like, I'll just listen to like one of them, maybe even just half, just to tell her. And I didn't stop.
Yeah.
I listened all four. And now he has actually been on Jenny Allen's podcast, a shorter series.
Yeah.
We definitely recommend them.
Yeah. But seriously, the testimonies that he shared in these sermons, they're so powerful. Like they just remind us of how powerful and real God is. They'll be linked in the show notes. And they just echoed the things that I talked about in the last episode that I witnessed up in San Francisco. These sermons really just helped bring clarity to a bigger topic, things that we already knew in our heart in regards to communicating, hearing from, and talking to God. But just hearing the testimonies and the wisdom God gave him that aligned so much with the things we'd been experiencing that I experienced up in San Francisco. It was just so many aha moments, really life-giving and life-changing, really. My friend who was up in Frisco with us and who also listened to these, she said something that I so resonated with. She said it felt like a glass of cold, refreshing water when we didn't even know we were thirsty. You know, I didn't know I was missing something that was deeper. You know, of course, I mean, obviously, it's not like I was missing Christ, like I had Christ, like, but there was just this new depth that God in his faithfulness just is showing us. And we get to share those with you today. You know, and Kristen and I agreed on this, right? I'm just going to take a few minutes just as we start diving into this topic. And I'm going to start us off and I'm going to kind of look at the Old Testament. And then Kristen's going to come in just a few, and we're going to start diving in together into some of the stuff in the New Testament and really talking about this topic about what it looks like and what do we know from Scripture about hearing the voice of God personally in our lives. And to everybody listening, I know this sounds basic kind of, you know, but from personal experience, like this can be so easily missed. This fact, God wants to know you personally. Through the entirety of Scripture, that is a fact. And that's not something scary or risky or self-centered to say. It's one of the most beautiful things of all time, right? We can be led by Jesus today. The Spirit of God can bring to our brains and our minds truth. His voice can speak to us. We can have an active relationship with Jesus. And many of us say we believe this, right? But do we truly believe that? Do we truly live that deep in our soul? Or do we think sometimes that when we're talking to Jesus, maybe he just doesn't want to talk to us, or he doesn't want to answer us or speak to us, or I don't know, like he plays some kind of game, but that's not real. In Psalm 118, the psalmist says, "When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All the nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them down. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord, I cut them down. They swarmed around me like bees, but they were consumed as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them down. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. Do we believe those words? Do we believe in the present help and voice of God in our lives? God is speaking to us personally. He wants to speak to us personally. And we don't need to mute that or be afraid of that statement for fear of how Satan or sin can take advantage of that and can be misused sometimes. We don't need to fear that. I've just been so convicted personally in my life that the written word of God, the Bible, right? It's meant to help us know God deeper, right? To be our guide, right? This rock, this reference point that we know truth, right? Our history, to know Jehovah, to know Yahweh, Adonai, right? The Bible is not meant to be a means by which we stop listening to and relying on the present voice of God in our lives. It's instead the guide for how to do this, right? For how to know Him, teaches us who He is. For thousands of generations, God, the King of the universe, He's just spoken to His people, right? We see it cover to cover. And I don't know about you guys, but personally, I've seen a fear of this, right? And I know in myself in the past, like a fear of this, of even saying that, because people have misused this, right? And they've taken advantage of it or been selfish or wrong about daring to talk about what God is sharing in a way that's unbiblical or anything. But let's just stop that fear, because God's bigger than all that, right? Because what I see people's response to the way people are abusing hearing the voice of God, sometimes Christians will just, you know, almost be so afraid of that, that we'll cut out entirely the reality of that God communicates with us still today. Or two, sometimes I even think subconsciously we can unintentionally emphasize like this, of course, biblical mandated important reality of community among His church or among brothers and sisters in Christ, but almost focus on that more than actually knowing Christ, when that in fact is an overflow. Our love and communion with our brothers and sisters in Christ is from an overflow of knowing Jesus intimately. I've even seen sometimes where people searching for a community find that in a local church, and then it just kind of can stop there, right? No, that we are amazing as the body of Christ on this earth, but no, we need to know Jesus, the God, the Savior of this world. And so today, I say, let's get reacquainted, right? Let's get reignited, re-inspired, recommitted in real time to our personal God. I mean, I think about Matthew 21, right? And just the warning there. You served in my name. You prophesied. You cast out demons. But Jesus says, depart from me. Why? Why does He say that? He says, for I never knew you. He did not only die to save us from our sin, to save us from ourselves, to bring us into a beautiful family called the church, His body, but He died to give us access to God. We know that, but are we listening? One of the first things that happened after He died was what? The temple was torn in two. We are now the high priest. We are the royal priesthood. We are the ones He is speaking to. We are the ones communing with God. I love thinking back to what Jacob said, right? In the Old Testament, Jacob wrestles with God, or, you know, wrestles with probably Jesus, right? And Jacob says, you were here all along, Lord, and I didn't even know it. It's an aha moment. Jamie Winship says, what we should be doing at a young age is practicing how to walk in your true identity and how to hear God's voice. Do this in community, right? In the body of Christ, yes. But that truth doesn't negate the need and power of this vertical relationship and your ability to hear from Him. That's been the story of the Bible from day one. I mean, this sounds like, it sounds really harsh, you know, so take it with a grain of salt. But I know, even looking at myself or what maybe collectively has happened sometimes, it's sometimes we can be tempted to use the very word of God, the logos, the written word of God, as a crutch to not actually hear from Him in real time. When like I said, the Bible is meant to guide us to knowing God. You look through scripture and everything didn't magically change like after first century Christians. Like that is, I'm sorry, I say this kindly, but that is just ridiculous. You look from Adam and Eve talking to God in the garden, Cain hearing from God, Lot hearing from God, Abraham hearing from God personally, having conversations, hearing from God, Moses hearing from God, Joseph hearing from God, Daniel hearing from God. We know about Daniel's prayer life and how he communed and spoke with God and heard from God. David heard from God. You see that all through the Psalms, the prophets, even in the New Testament, pre-death and resurrection, John the Baptist hears from God and talks about what God's speaking to him. And I'm not even talking about what Matthew wrote in the canonized word of God. I'm just talking about references to John the Baptist hearing from God that we read in scripture. Simeon hearing from God, Jesus and the example he gave of communing with God, being with God. You go forward after Pentecost and it's over and over, right? There's instances of crazy visions. Peter, right, with the blanket, Saul on the road to Damascus. But I'm not even talking about that. We see through the New Testament, which we'll get into, just these examples of God just guiding their steps, their day-to-day life, them referencing conversations or things they've heard from God. Sometimes they don't even tell us what it was, but it's an understood reality. That's obviously what happened to the writers as they wrote the Bible, but also they reference repeatedly times of the Spirit speaking to them practically in community. And I mean, God can speak to anyone, anywhere. We know that. I've even heard, you know, again, people, because of the fear of people misusing the word of God and God speaking to us. I've even heard people say, you know, God can't speak to you personally. You have to make sure and be with somebody else or a spiritual authority that God spoke that. And of course, we need to be wise and take in good counsel. But 1 John 2, John talks about how you don't need anyone to teach you because you are anointed and the Spirit of God lives inside you to teach you all things. Obviously, that didn't mean that we don't need to be taught and be humble. That's not what he's talking about there. But what he's talking about is the fact that the actual Spirit of God lives inside of us. God, the God that created the universe, is inside of you and is actually personally teaching you. It's mind-blowing. It's absolutely mind-blowing. And practically, the realization for me was that when I'm sitting here praying and talking to God, right, I'm not talking to a wall. No, he's communing with me. He wants to hear us. He speaks to our heart through our very self sometimes, through the Spirit that's inside of us. We have the mind of Christ, scripture teaches us, if you are in Christ. And he wants to speak to you and teach you, right? If your heart is right with him, if your eyes are fixed on him, if your desire is for him, if you've confessed your sins and you're standing before him with a desire to seek him with all your heart, you study his word, you're learning his word. And as you're doing that, you're talking to Jesus and you pause and you're silent. And he will sometimes speak to you in your thoughts, thoughts that come to your mind. Many times are from him speaking to you. And how dare us negate that? Jamie Winship talks about this. God will speak to us in our dreams through, of course, the scripture. You know, it's so crazy when I think about it. And I know Kristen has experienced the same thing, that most of the things God speaks to me are passages he brings to my mind. And as a caveat, obviously, anything God's speaking to us is in alignment with the scriptures 100%. But it's amazing. I mean, there's things I couldn't even remember, right? Things I've learned like so long ago that come to my mind, and it's the Spirit of God speaking to me. Let's look at some Old Testament examples. So we look at Abraham. I love this. This was before the word of God was written, and God told Abraham to move. And what did he do? Did he doubt that voice a million times? I don't know if that was God. I don't know. Obviously, it wasn't. There was nothing wrong that he was being told to do. So it's not, you know what I mean? There wasn't a logical reason to doubt it. And what did he do? Did he doubt it? No, he moved. He could have stayed in bed and kept waiting to hear more, or waiting for more signs, but no, he moved. God didn't give him a blueprint, but he moved. We see in 2 Samuel 5 that God spoke directly to David. I love this so much. I just want to read a little bit of it. Now the Philistines had come, so David inquired of the Lord. That's the first thing he did upon facing a trial. He inquired of the Lord. And he didn't just say, oh, God, be with me, which is obviously a good thing to say. No, he said specifically, shall I go and attack the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hands? This is a very specific prayer request. The Lord answered him, go, I will surely deliver the Philistines into your hands. So David went, he defeated them, right? Then it says, once more the Philistines came up. So David inquired of the Lord and he answered again. We see this all throughout David's life. And the Lord said, do not go straight up, but circle around behind them, attack them in front of the poplar trees. He gives specifics. As soon as you hear the sound of the marching in the tops of the poplar, it's just amazing. The Lord tells him to move quickly because that will mean the Lord has gone out in front of you to strike the Philistine army. And that's exactly what happened. right? We see God speaking directly to Samuel in bed. But then it's so cool because in 2 Samuel 7, we see that God spoke to David through the prophet Nathan. Nathan responded by going and talking directly to God about what he said to him through Nathan. And David praises God, a beautiful praise and prayer to God. And so it's so cool because we see God speaking directly to David. We see God speaking to David through another follower of God. We see God speaking to David through his written word repeatedly. And that's our hearts in this episode, right? Is just to remind all of us that these are not just stories from the past. I'm sorry if that's what you've been taught. I'm sorry if you disagree, but that's just a lie in my opinion. You know, because how do we know that this is real life still, that God still speaks to us? Because we can do the same thing. We can experience the power and the intimacy of God. Even more so now that the Spirit of God dwells inside of us, right? Everything God speaks to us, like we said, aligns with his word, but just, oh, what is it? What is that passage? Oh, the depth of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. It's so beautiful. And so if Kristen, if you could kind of take us in now to just some examples that we see in the New Testament.
Let's dive into the New Testament examples of God speaking, you know, when they had the Holy Spirit. You know, Acts 16, it says that Paul was traveling and it says, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia.
Do you know what I mean? I just want to pause because I think that's important because there's not a passage in the Bible that says don't preach in the province of Asia. Do you know what I'm saying?
Wow.
He's not relying on the written word of God.
That is such a
So I just think it's very important, these examples, to recognize like this is real.
Yeah.
Of course, it aligns with scripture, of course, what he's hearing.
It's
not outside of scripture.
It's not a new revelation.
It's not new, of course.
But it's a specific to his life.
Yes.
To what he should do.
Yeah.
And yeah, it keeps going. It says, when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So again, and so they passed by Mysia and went to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. And so, you know, and that caused them to move and do something different. So,
And then Colossians 2, I love this. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Mm-hmm. And it's just this invitation.
Yeah.
This invitation into knowing Christ.
So good. And in 1 Corinthians 2, Paul says, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. And it continues on, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thought except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God.
Okay, so stop there. Yeah. Okay, so then that's where, I guess we can't hear from God because of that, right?
Right?
Oh, well, let's go on.
Yeah. Hi, friends. Imagine approaching God's word with confidence in your ability to glean meaningful truths. Imagine being excited to wake up and dive into studying. That is the mission behind the James Method and their exclusive, one-of-a-kind verse mapping journal. What is verse mapping, you ask? Excellent question. Verse mapping is a transformative study technique that involves dissecting a biblical verse, delving into its keywords, understanding its historical context, exploring alternate translations, and finding related references. But it doesn't stop there. The James Method Journal encourages reflection on the truths revealed and their application in your daily life. If you are ready to move beyond filling in the blanks and are excited to dig into scripture for yourself, the James Method Verse Mapping Journal might be just what you need. This is not just a product. It's an intimate journey into God's word, making the Bible more than just a book on your shelf, but a living, breathing guide for your life. You can check out the James Method and all the Bible study products they offer in our show notes today, and make sure to use the code ABIDINGFREE to save 20% off your purchase. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual, but who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him. But we have the mind of Christ. That's good.
I mean, that's just crazy. That is unreal that God would love us that much to impart us with himself. You know, and just on this New Testament section, the last passage I would just want to read is from Jesus in John 14. He says, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." I mean, it's right there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like it's I could just keep going. Like it's over and over. Like Jesus couldn't have made it more clear. Like I'm showing myself to you, present tense, showing myself to you. I'm in the Father, you're in me, and I'm in you. Like that's insane, right? The Spirit of God is in our inner being. Like I said, the same Spirit that was in Paul. Then you hear Jesus' words, you know, and I started geeking out on this. Just like when we talked about, I don't remember what episode number it was, but the self-love episode.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh.
Where we got into that there are different words for love in Greek.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's the type of stuff is so interesting to me when you get into the original language, you know, and understanding, oh, well, that's why in one passage it says, you know, that this self-love is evil, which it is. But then you say, love your neighbor as yourself. You're like, what? You're like, oh, it's a different word of love that was actually used. But in English, we only have one. Similar kind of in this situation where that there's multiple words for the word. Mm-hmm. Both in Hebrew in the Old Testament and then in Greek in the New Testament. So I just wanted to talk about this for just a couple minutes because I think it's really interesting.
So let's start with learning about the translation of the word in the Old Testament. So for example, you know, again, this is not exhaustive, but we're just trying to give kind of an overview. So Psalm 119:114 in the English says, the psalmist says, "You are my hiding place and my shield. I wait for your word." So interesting here is you don't wait for what you already have.
I know. So I just, and again, this is just my thoughts. I've just been studying just what does the Bible say? Like I'm not getting into any type of doctrine or anything. Just what does scripture say? And I feel like if I was the psalmist, or I don't know if maybe this wasn't David. We don't know, I think, who wrote Psalm 119. But like if, say it was King David, we have multiple scenarios where if he wants to hear the word of the Lord, he calls his servant up and they read it to him in the middle of the night. There's multiple passages you see that. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I'm like, if that was the case, I feel like he would have just called his servant up. So maybe he's talking about God speaking to him, right? And what's so interesting is in this passage that Kristen just referenced, that she just read, the Hebrew word for word is devar. And according to Strong's, it means speech, word, or speaking. And the exact word also is in Psalm 521. And it is the same word used to reference evil human words, or in Psalm 56, the same word used to reference the psalmist's words, his own words. And it's really interesting. So that same word devar, it's actually the same word used in the Ten Commandments. The word commandment is actually devar, but it's been translated into commandment.
Whoa.
But it's actually the 10 words or matters of God.
Oh, that's cool.
It's the 10 devar. Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
Well, I think it's interesting too. In Psalm 119:116, just two verses later when he says, "Uphold me according to thy word that I may live." In English, it is the same word, but it is actually a different word entirely, which is emra, utterance, speech, word. So, which we're going to see again in Psalm 119, 140, and all over. So, throughout Psalm 119, the writer uses many different words to reference God's word: commandments, testimonies, law, word, ordinances, precepts, statutes. That's a lot of different
things. Yeah, that's just in that one chapter. And I don't know about anyone else, but I think many times when I've read through these passages that reference the word of God in English, I've always just assumed it was the same exact form of the word of God. It's just interesting because you see all these different words and then the nuances with the original language changes. And like, I personally think, well, I think it's reasonable to think that when he was saying, you know, in Psalm 119, "You are my hiding place, I wait for your word," that maybe he was talking about God, waiting for God to speak to him.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I'm not trying to impose anything or be weird at all, but I just think it's powerful that we see the Lord speaking in multiple different ways throughout the Old Testament.
Wow. So now when we would jump to the New Testament, there are different Greek translations for the word word as well. So dabar in Hebrew is logos in Greek, which some of you may be familiar with.
Yeah.
It's understood to be God's words recorded for us, written scripture or Jesus himself. You know, and there's 300 examples of this in the Bible. For example, John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, in the beginning was logos.
Yeah. And then we see it again in John 18:32, which I thought was really interesting. Right before Jesus was crucified, and the Jews said to Pilate, but we have no right to execute anyone, when I think Pilate was just telling them to handle it themselves. And they objected, saying, we have no right to execute anyone. And then verse 32 in chapter 18 of John, it says, this took place to fulfill what Jesus had said about the kind of death he was going to die. And what's interesting is the word said is the word logos, referring to the written word, which I thought was interesting. So he's actually referencing what was written about him in scripture. I just thought that was beautiful.
Yeah.
The other Greek word for the word word in the New Testament is rhema. And it's just a beautiful word. And it literally means an utterance. I think it's used 70 times in the Bible. You've studied that word.
Yeah. And there are some differing opinions. But what I found to be most consistent with commentators is that it's also the personalized word of God that God gives us, kind of like what you're talking about is, you know, the for instance, if I'm going through something difficult and it just, there's a verse that just totally speaks to me and it applies to that situation. And I know that God is giving me that verse to apply to that situation. That is rhema. It's like the personalized. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
It's so awesome.
Yeah. Thayer's Greek lexicon defines rhema as something that has been uttered by a living voice, just from a definition. And so, yeah, I mean, that's just in looking through these passages in the original language, it just seemed to be referring to when God was speaking to a specific occasion. These are some passages that the word rhema is used for the word word. Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the rhema of Christ, by the word of Christ. Or John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. The word used is rhema.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know rhema was used there.
Isn't that interesting?
Oh, that's, my husband is super like excited about rhema. He's been,
oh, cool.
This past year, he's been studying rhema a lot.
Oh, wow.
So I wonder if he knows that.
That's cool. Yeah. Cause it was, I was just looking through all the, just the Greek and all these passages, and it was just, it's so interesting. Like, oh, wow. And so, you know, as we close up this second episode in the series, you know, it seems to me just looking at some of the stuff we've studied in the Old Testament, New Testament passages that we just went through, and even just the breakdown of the different words and learning a bit about rhema and just in personal experiences, right? That we have a present God who wants to speak to you and know you personally. We really want to talk about practical applications for the reality that we can and do hear the voice of God, how that applies to our identity and how that brings so much freedom and life. We'll get into that in the next episode. And it's kind of, I feel kind of silly, but as an example, I think it's edifying. I was spending time with the Lord, and like these words just came to my mind. And I just think it just like the value of rhema, the value of the word of Christ, the value of Jesus being with us. And this is just like, was just an outpouring of my heart. The King of heaven sits with me. He pulls me close upon his knee. He likes to hear my laugh and talk. With him, I will always walk. What wondrous grace that you love me, that you choose to be my king, that you choose to be my friend, my portion till this earth does end. My Savior, God, and Lord, you are. What words have I? You're near, not far. Why do you sit right here with me? My God, my Savior, Lord, and King, because you love and chose me to be your daughter. I'm made new.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
Yeah. And that's our heart for everyone listening. Thank you so much for joining us today. If you have a second, please share this episode with someone you love.
Also, if you could scroll down and rate our podcast and follow us on social media at Abiding Free, this will help us reach more with the message of freedom.
Yeah, and then just be sure to join us next week for another episode, and know we love and are praying for you.